Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Bringing Up Us, the podcast. I hope that you all enjoyed last week's episode with Emma Freud. I most certainly did. This week, we have someone who I'm so excited about having. And actually, when I came up with this idea for the podcast, she was on my wish list. So I'm so pleased that she said yes. It is the wonderful Jessie Cave, who is an actress, comedian, professional doodler. Everyone should check out her website, which is jessiecave.com, and follow her on Instagram at jessiecave. She's wonderful, and I really hope that you enjoy this. Jessie Cave, I'm so excited that I slid into your DMs and that you're here doing the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are most welcome. I'm really excited to talk about your story because it is so fascinating and intriguing, and I just want to chat for hours. My adrenaline is already going. I had one of those mornings where it was going really well and I got Rudy out of the house and we like went and got a cup of coffee and had a hot chocolate and it was so lovely. And then I turned up at the school gate and it was Mufti Day.
Oh.
And he was in his school uniform and his face was like, don't make me go to school like this. And so we had to run home and go and get him changed. And so our adrenaline was like, God, we're so good and so fast. And we got to school 5 minutes late, but it was great. So I'm ready.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I am. I actually had a similar thing this morning because I woke up, they woke up late because I'm doing my shows at the moment. So we're going to sleep really, really late. And they just did not want to go to nursery, like really. And it's just heartbreaking when they don't want to go, but they have to go.
And they look at you and you're like, I'm so sorry. I have to. They're like, no, mummy.
They're like, please pick me up early. I was like, I can't pick you up early today. I'm sorry. And I remember hating school so much and I don't want them to go through that. So I just kind of, but now I realise like that's the only way I need them to go today. I need them to go tomorrow. Like, and I'm having to realise that it's just, it's horrible, but I have to be like, nope, sorry, you have to go.
Yeah. And it does get better. Do you, when you finish your show, do you wake them up? They're still awake?
No, but because they're so disrupted at the moment, because they're so used to me putting them to bed.
Yeah.
They've had like my sister or Alfie and then babysitters, and they're just a little bit exhausted because they wake up in the middle of, because I co-sleep with them.
Yeah.
And then I get into bed in the middle of the night and they wake up and they're like, Mummy, how did your show go?
It's the best feeling in the whole entire world. You're like, guys, it went really well tonight.
I know. It's really, really nice because they're half asleep when they say it. So much goes in and you don't realise.
Yeah, I know.
Because I haven't said to them, like, I mean, the other day I did, like, before I did the first one, I was like, lying in bed in the morning and I was like, I just went, oh. And Donnie was like, what's wrong? I was like, oh, I'm just worried that I'm not going to be very good on my show. And I didn't really think about saying it before I said it. It was like I was talking to an adult. And he was like, no, Mummy, you will be good. And I was like, oh, and that made me feel so strong, ridiculously, for the rest of the day. But, you know, so everything's slightly disrupted at the moment because it's not normal.
Yeah.
And then now, because I haven't put them to bed in like 8 days or however many days I've done it now, I'm kind of scared about when I have to put them to bed again because I'm worried that now other people have got their routine with them and every day, like a couple of days with children on your own is so intense.
Yeah.
So if you don't do it for 7 days, it's like, it feels like I haven't done it in months, put them to bed. It's really odd.
Do you miss it?
I do miss it, but then you get kind of the freedom you get when you finally have time to yourself is, at first, it feels wrong. It feels like I'm doing something wrong and I should be at home and I should be reading them a story and I should be sitting there guarding them until the morning. But now that I've had a little taste of what it's like, you know, not having to worry about what, you know, because someone else is looking after them, it's kind of worryingly addictive.
I get this. I get such a guilt when I don't put Rudy to bed, and the babysitter comes and she's just the most amazing woman and has been with us since he was born, and I love her and trust her more than anything, and he loves her so much. But when I don't put her to bed and then I see the story that they read at bedtime, and I get really sad because I'm like, I wanted to read that story to you.
Yeah.
And Rudy's like, you can do it again, Mummy. You'll do it really well.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, it's yeah. But then the joy. So I have a friend looking after them a couple of nights, and she's so amazing with them. And I just think, oh, they love her so much, and they have such a fun time with them. And she reads the story differently to what, like, she does proper voices. I can't do voices. I just have heart. I don't do voices.
I'm just really moving.
So I'm just like, actually, no, they're having a really good time. So yeah, it's okay.
Exactly. That's all that matters. Okay. Jessie, we start each episode of this podcast with the same question. Did you have an idea of the parent that you wanted to be? Or, you know, did you even want to be a parent?
I wanted to be a parent from three. I mean, I was one of the really odd... Well, I know it's normal. Everyone wants to, like, play as mummies and daddies and stuff. But, like, I used to fantasise about how many children I'd have from year one. I was like, I wanted to be an earth mother. And I... when my first ambition, when everyone says, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up and stuff, from such a young age, whenever anyone asked me that, I was like, I want to run an orphanage and I want to have 23 children. I wanted to, like, have so many children. And I from the second I was a teenager, I was like, I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to have a baby. So much so that, because I never had any luck with boys, like, I never... like, really had a normal... Well, no, looking back, I did. But beginning when you're going through it, you think, oh, I'm so bad with boys. I've never had any experiences. But now I'm looking back, actually, I did. But still, when I got to about 20, I went on this mission to get a baby via sperm donation. And I...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I was, like, properly... I went to the clinics. And because I had polycystic ovaries...
Did you find out that you had polycystic ovaries?
Really, because I never started my period.
Right, that's how it works. I'm
so
really
I never started my period. So I just, so I was a very odd mix of, like, desperately wanting to have a baby, but also not being fertile from, like, I just never, so I never was normal. I never, so when all the girls were, like, bleeding and gloat, you know, boasting about their periods in the toilets at school, I would be, like, felt like such a fraud. I was like, oh, I'm not a woman yet. And but yeah, I wanted to be a mother. So, like, so when it got to about 20, I was just like, okay, no, I felt like if I had a baby, I would know my place in the world and I would know what I wanted to do. And to be honest, and it's, I find it, like, it's slightly embarrassing to say, but since I did have, I do feel like I have a place.
I completely agree.
And so I feel like slightly, I was ahead of my time because I really thought, okay, if I have a baby, then I'll get my act together. I'll have to, you know, work to, like, provide for the child. Like, I'll know what I want to do. It didn't work out that way. It turned out that I got quite close. Like, I was about to choose sperm.
Really?
So I'd have been approved. I had the therapy. You have to have an assessment to see how well you are in the mind before you're allowed to do it. And obviously, because I was the youngest they'd ever seen, they were, like, shocked. And also because I had polycystic ovaries, so I wasn't, like... It was like, I was like an odd case. And I was there with my mum. My mum was, like, so supportive.
I was going to say, was she like, yeah, Jessie, you can do this, let's do this?
She was supportive. She thought it was, like, odd, but she was at the same time, she was like, I'm one of five, and my mum is an earth mother. And my mum, I think, was just like, well, this is what she wants. And because I have an odd career anyway, it wasn't really going to affect it. And so, well, That's a different story. That's a whole nother. I didn't think it would affect it. Obviously, it does.
We will go into that.
But so she was supportive, and actually, it turned out that I didn't go through with it because I did get a job, and then I got addicted to. I got kind of competitive with my peer group, and I was thinking, okay, no, I am really young. And then I got into guys, like, in a different way.
Yeah.
Suddenly it wasn't about having a baby. It was about, like, trying to, like, just have casual sex and not worry about, you know, having a baby and stuff. My idea changed about what I wanted. But then it turned out that I didn't want a baby. I was like, no, I'm going to work. I'm going to do as much work as I can. I'm going to make the most of what I can do. And then I got pregnant.
Okay, let's
unexpectedly
talk about this.
By a one-night stand.
You couldn't write this story. I feel like obviously it has been written and knocked up, but I feel like this is like an even better version. For those of you who don't know, Jessie, you have to tell the story of how you got pregnant with your first.
Well, so basically I was on this mission to date and, like, actually see different, you know, try and be like, I didn't ever want to be in a long-term relationship in my 20s because I thought that would, it just never happened. And then because it didn't happen, I think I got defensive and I was like, I don't want it.
Yeah.
But actually, I think I just never met the right person. But basically, then I was 26 and I was actually working more than I've ever worked. I just had like a fling with a musician who was the typical, you know, oh, I just, you know, I don't want a relationship and I want to be free. I'm a free spirit. And, you know, he doesn't even know what instrument he plays, just plays, you know, it's like an unidentifiable instrument, and just couldn't pin him down. And because I was so hurt by that like tiny little fling, I was like, right, I am never going to get hurt again. I'm going to hurt them. And so I dated, like, in the series of a week, I, like, dated, like, this is, I mean, I must have been, I didn't realise, because of my polycystic ovaries, I was ovulating.
Because
I was rampant. So I dated, and in the series of this week, me trying to be strong and be like, I'm going to get over him, I set up, basically, Alfie had expressed an interest in me, which I was shocked by, because I had fancied him for so long. And also I had met him a couple of times, but mainly once at the Edinburgh Festival in 2012 when I had been doing my first show. And he he pulled me towards him. I'd barely met him and I sat on his lap. And this was so odd for me. I've never sat on a man's lap. I'm not that kind of person. I just remember thinking, why am I sitting on his lap? This is so weird. This feels so right. Like, what's going on? Anyway, flash forward like 2 years, and we, for some reason, we were set up on this date, or like basically his stepsister. I didn't realize it was his stepsister, and I was friends with her. And she was like, oh yeah, if you want to go on a date, yeah, whatever, just do it. And then we arranged to go on this date, and I was like, right, this is going to be my mission, to have casual sex, and I'm going to have sex with them, and then nothing will happen, and I'll be fine. And it turned out that we did have a one-night stand, and in the morning, I was like, right, you have to leave. I have to go and get an STD check.
Because
I'd arranged for it. Because my mission to be this kind of like casual sex person is flawed because I'm so scared of getting STDs.
You pre-planned your appointment.
Yeah, so I pre-planned the appointment after my unusual amount of activity, and so I was like, I have to go. And weirdly, I left him in my bed, and I was like, it weirdly felt so right.
Yeah.
Weirdly good. And like, I was just, I think because I was so scared of what had just happened with this guy, I was like, no, that isn't good. No, it's just, this is fine. Just don't like him. Don't spend any more time with him, because then you'll start liking him. Just get him out. So I did. I went out. I left him there, but I left. And then and then I went on a few more dates that week, and I was like, oh, nothing's going on. And I was like, I'm fine. I am genuinely fine. I can just focus on myself and work. And then so about 3 weeks later, I started getting really sick, and I was like, something's going on, and I didn't know. And yeah, it turned out I was pregnant. And that, it was a really interesting time, because I just auditioned. I basically don't really work as an actress, but for once I had auditioned for something and I had got a recall, and it was for a quite good series, and this never happens to me. And I was like, so wanted the job, and I just didn't believe I was pregnant. Like, I rang my mum. My mum was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I have my boobs hurt, and I'm really tired. And like, she's like, oh. I was like, no, I'm not. Anyway, I did the test, and I was pregnant. And but because I was still so in shock, and that my body had done this, given I had never had periods, like, yeah, it was so weird. I just was in denial, and so I basically just focused on this job, and I was like, I'm going to get this job, and I'm not going to think about it. Alfie, in the meantime, wanted to go on a second date, which I was shocked by again. Yeah. But I was like, no, because I don't want to involve him at this point, because I was like, well, I'm going to lose it. I'm obviously going to lose the baby. I'm going to have a miscarriage. Everyone has it. I'm going to have a miscarriage. Of course I'm going to have a miscarriage. And so I was just like, okay, well, I'm not going to involve him and then have a miscarriage and then be like, oh, great. And what do we do now? So I was just like, okay, I'm going to just keep going with my own thing. But then it got to the point where I was like, okay, this is actually happening. I actually am pregnant. What do I do? And also because the thing about Alfie is that he had just gone through a divorce at the age of 24. No, he got married at 24. And he was in the process of a separation or divorce. So I was very conscious of the fact that I was one of the first people he had had a lot of sex, but I was in this spree of newly single things. Right. So I was like, I am not the person he wants to be with. He wants to be single, but, you know, otherwise he wouldn't have ended the marriage. Like, he wants to be single. And I just suddenly felt so scared that I was going to, you know, be a reason. Like, I didn't want to trap him. And I know that sounds really unfeminist and stuff, but, like, you know, because he got me pregnant. But I was very conscious of I wanted him to want to be with me regardless of anything.
Yeah. Like,
but it turned out that it's such a long story. But basically, I got to about 16 weeks pregnant, so I was quite far along.
I mean, when you found out and you took a test and found out that you were pregnant, was your instinct like, yeah, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, there was no question that I wasn't going to... I had no belief that my body could do that. So yeah. It was like a blur. There was no question of like having an abortion or anything. I just didn't believe my body could do it. To be honest, up until the moment he came out, I just was like completely in denial, and because I was so shocked that my body could have made this. And then even when he came out and he was lying there, he didn't breathe. He didn't breathe for a while, and this like massive doctors rushed in. And I was like, well, of course I couldn't do it.
Yeah, he's pretend.
Of course.
Yeah,
like, yeah. This is And then Alfie took a photo of Donnie on the table, so I couldn't see him because I was like, I couldn't move because of all the drugs. The doctors had made him finally cry. And so Alfie went and took a photo of him on his phone. And so the first thing I saw was a photo that Alfie brought over to me to show, look, it's real. That's him. He's here. It was like, I didn't believe it would happen. But then it got to the point where I was over 12 weeks.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay,
it's
I've lasted this long. I better tell him.
Yeah.
But he was still, you know, I just was still really scared to tell him because I'd avoided going on a second date out of kind of self-protection. And then I had got this job. And so I was like, okay, I've got to lie. Because I was so sure they were going to fire me. So I was like, okay, if I just get first day of filming done, then I'm on camera, so they can't fire me. So I did the first day on camera. I'm filming out of London. And then, so I was now secure, and I chickened out, and I was like, I've got to tell the producers. And luckily, the producer just had a baby, so he was like, he was very nice, and he was like, it's fine, it is fine, this is important, like we can just hide it, you know. And luckily, I really didn't show very much, so I was like, so they were able to hide it. So I was confident in this job, and I was like, okay, now I have to tell him, and it happened to be on his 27th birthday. Which I didn't plan, and Actually, no, to be honest, I told him by text message. This is really bad. I told him by text message because I was like, I can't tell him face to face because that's just too intense.
Too scary.
So I was like, I said to him, I wasn't planning to tell him by text. I was like, I was on the train to Hungerford and I was like, okay, we should probably, what, do you want to go for a drink? And he was like, the first thing he said back, I said, because I was worried that he was going to say he didn't want to go for a drink. So I was like, I've got to make it like that he has to go for a drink. So I was like, I said something about Kourtney Kardashian star sign because he's got the same star sign, Aries. And so I was like, oh, so you have the same birthday as Kourtney Kardashian. Also, I think we should go for a drink because I have to, like, I think we should go for a drink. And he was like, why? Pregnant or diseased? That's the first thing he says.
He knew.
To be honest, he had actually said that, like straight after the one-night stand, he'd been like, I sent him a joke text saying pregnant before I knew I was pregnant.
Oh, you mean you couldn't write this?
No, I really couldn't. And then, but this is before I knew. Anyway, so then he was like, pregnant or diseased? And I was like, and so I just sent him a photo of the scan.
No.
So that's the first thing you saw.
But what, did he believe that? Because I would have, he'd be like, she's a funny girl, sending me a picture of her scan, and he'd be like, no.
I can't believe I did that. Like, I can't believe, it's like a different person. So immature.
No.
I can't believe I did
that. But I feel like you're downplaying in the fact that I think it's so scary to tell anyone that you're pregnant, even if you're married and planning it. It's such a big thing. You were telling someone that you've had a one-night stand with 4 months later that you're having a baby.
I was so sure that he would. I was so basically in that interim period, I had decided I was definitely having this baby and it was my baby.
Yeah.
And I was, whatever happened, whatever he wanted to do, I was going to be okay. So I'd already decided that. I had the support from my mum, I had my sister, you know, I was fine. So whatever he came to, whatever he brought to the table, I was going to be okay with.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't formed an attachment yet to him, because I hadn't spent time with him. Like, I obviously fancied him and I obviously really liked him, but I hadn't allowed myself to even contemplate that because I was like, this is more, something more important is going on here. I'm trying to create a human. And I was on board with that now. And so when he did, so I told him, it was his birthday and like he came outside this pub and he was like, he just did this monologue about, which I was just blown away by.
How long after was this?
This was the day after. The day after. And he was like, I want to be involved. I want to do everything. I want to be there for you. I want to come to every scan. I want to, like, the beautiful, beautiful, like, declaration. And I was so moved by it and so shocked because no one had ever shown that interest in me and protection. And he was such, like, a good man, like, just really not. I'm so, so like, what is going on? And then what happened is that we just kind of like completely fell in love. Like, it was almost like it was so scary because obviously when he was just terrified and he still is terrified. Like, we're still so new. Like, he was just absolutely terrified of calling me his girlfriend and didn't want to have sex with me because he didn't want to, you know, think that he thought that that would, you know, he didn't want to hurt me. But I was like, well, we're having a baby. Like, there's just, you know, like, who else is going to have sex with me? You're going to have sex with me. So, no, anyway, we really absolutely fell completely in love and, like, had a really amazing bonding time as I was growing. And then on the day he was born, he said he loved me. And
oh my God, Jessie, this is so,
I know, so beautiful. And like, he was just amazing. He was amazing. And also, he watching, because he was a boy and he's a stand-up comedian, the most immature people in the world, male stand-up comedians. Like, he grew like overnight. The second Donnie was out, he was a man. And watching him develop as a father in the last 4 years has been absolutely beautiful. And I just, because we still are finding out stuff about each other, we barely dated because we're now like still learning things about each other. And it's just, I feel like the luckiest person I feel like Donnie is like the luckiest thing that could have ever happened to me. Like a miracle. The fact that I got pregnant anyway. Like, and it just, I just feel so unbelievably lucky.
It's just, I think, navigating your way through parenthood with someone that you've been with for a very, very, very long time is the most difficult thing, and it breaks couples so quickly. And navigating your way into parenthood, but while also sort of navigating your way through each other, learning each other and discovering each other, I mean, must have been...
Yeah.
Kind of...
It's very, very... It's very hit and miss, like, very delicate, because... Yeah. We don't have the foundation because we didn't have a relationship before I got pregnant. So, and my instinct with any the short relationships I've been in is to the second something goes wrong, I'm like, okay, bye, bye. And I did do that. So like whenever we had a fight, I would be like, well, let's just break up then. Let's just break up. And that ruined it, actually. Now I'm realising. And I think if you've planned a baby and you're in a relationship, you're married maybe or whatever, you're in a solid relationship and you get pregnant, it's very different because you have decided you're on this journey together. But we were suddenly on this road that we didn't mean to go down, and we're together and we're parenting and we're just taking.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, step by step. So it's really, really difficult. And it does mean that I feel quite insecure a lot of the time, because I'm like, but he didn't choose this and I didn't choose this. And would we be here if it didn't happen? But the breakup has been the best thing.
We're going to get to that in a
minute.
But
it's actually been the best thing.
And also you can't live your life going, you know, would it be different if Donnie wasn't here? Would we be together and would we? It's just life doesn't work that way. And
I do like to think that we would have gone on a second date if I hadn't got pregnant. And I think that we would have like had a semblance of a relationship for a few months. And then I'd been like, okay, call me your girlfriend. And he'd have been like, no. And then we'd be like, okay, fine, let's just continue going on like this. And then we would have broken up. And then eventually, like 2 years later, we'd be like, okay, fine, call me your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So I think we would have got here eventually.
Going back to finding out that you were pregnant, at the age of 20, you were very prepared to be a single mum. You were like, I'm going to have a baby, I want to be a single mum. Then you get pregnant and you prepare yourself to be a single mum. Mm. Also, how were your family?
So my mum was absolutely, when I got pregnant.
Yeah, as in when you said, listen, I'm pregnant and I'm having this baby and I will probably be doing it alone and I need you.
Well, the funny thing is my mum wasn't, when I called her back after I'd gone to get a test and I said, okay, so you were right, I am pregnant. She was like, fuck. And I was like, And then within 2 minutes, she always reacts, and then she's absolutely brilliant. She's so adaptable. And she was like, great, yep, we're going to do this, it's going to be fine. And my little sister was, you know, brilliant. And I didn't tell my brothers for a little bit, and my dad was fine with it. But the funny thing is, because they had seen Alfie do comedy, because we had, in 2012, we had shared a dressing room because he was on in the same venue as me, and they had seen Alfie at the end of his show that year had two really big dildos as a prop. And my poor mum, who did all my props and everything, was having to like navigate around the dressing room around these big dicks. So she had met Alfie already and was like, he's gorgeous. Oh my God, he's gorgeous. And we were going to see his show, and my mum had flirted with him. Like, my mum really liked Alfie from before this happened. So when she found out that it was Alfie, she was like, oh my God,
this is fantastic.
Yeah, and she loved it. And but also because me and my mum we're secure, we've got this. Like, Alfie was still able to be this kind of free, and he still is, really. And I know that a lot of people don't think that's good because, you know, but we just are doing it a different way. Our family is very unconventional, and we all have a role to play. And it's not just two parents bringing up two children. We're like, there's a lot of people going around.
Yeah, which is, I feel like, what I have. And I think it's such an amazing thing. When I found out that I was pregnant, which wasn't planned at all, and I definitely was in quite an unstable and slightly unhappy relationship when I found out. And I sat my parents, the minute I did the test, I never doubted that this was the right baby, but the wrong time. And it was so powerful that it shocked me. And I wasn't frightened, I wasn't scared, I was so calm. But I did, when I told my family, which I knew my mum would find it really heartbreaking because she knew that I was so naive to love. And I was like, you fall in love, you get married, have a baby, and you live happily ever after. And, you know, my parents were still together. And so I think she knew that sort of that kind of world was about to crumble for me, and the world I was going to see in a different way. But my dad was actually, the minute I told him, he was amazing and leapt up and sort of held me and was like, I love you and it's all going to be okay. But we had this 2 weeks where I didn't actually tell them what was going to happen. I said that I was pregnant. But in those 2 weeks, every night, as a fact, I think I told actually my brothers a little bit later, maybe 4 days after I told them, actually, we sat around the table and we went through everything, like every scenario that could happen, sort of every way that I could, you know, raise a baby, so that they were prepared. We were all prepared to sort of do this as a team, and me and Rudy's dad, you know, maybe might not be together, and that was going to be okay, and I was capable of doing it as a single mum. And so when I said, you know, it's, I am having the baby, it was such a supportive environment.
Yeah, that's so nice.
And also it's amazing, like the relationship that, you know, I think we're so lucky is that our kids have with our family. It's like, it's not like old granny that I see once a month.
Oh,
it's
God,
like they're so involved, and that's such a kind of uniquely special thing, and I'm so grateful for
it. My mum is as much their mother as me.
Yeah.
Like and my sister as well. It's I wouldn't have changed that. And so when he was first born, Donnie, I lived with my mum and my brother and my sister. Yeah. And Alfie came back and forth, and it was like a little
community.
A community. And so I do think that's the best way. I like being able to share that. It was such a joyful thing, having a baby. And I feel like if it just makes you realise that life is like, that's what it's about, really. It's about, it makes everyone happier. It's brought my family closer.
Yeah, it does.
It's been brilliant.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So you then had Donnie, and yours and Alfie's relationship was flourishing. You then got pregnant with Margot when...
So I got pregnant with Margot when Donnie was just under one.
And you and Alfie were together. Were you living together at this point?
So basically we moved in together when Donnie was 9 months.
Yeah.
So we've been living with my mum and then moved in together. And that's when things started to get a bit more difficult in, okay, right now we are
a couple
and we are having
a
baby, and we have got a baby, and, you know, we're both working and trying to do everything, and it's quite stressful, and it's not as easy as having my mum around the entire time. And so that's when, and what should have happened in retrospect is we should have just calmed down and just been like, okay. But what happened is then we we then decided we were going to try and buy a house. It was all got very real, very adult. And then I was now pregnant.
Was Margot planned?
Yeah, yeah. Really, brilliantly planned. And it was just, it was brilliant. That pregnancy was brilliant because I was like, I knew what was happening. I decided I was going to do things slightly differently when the baby was born. I was like, you know, like little things like, oh, I can choose what clothes she wears and I know what the best thing is for her. Like, I know what nappies are like. I mean, like, tiny little decisions that you are kind of, when you're a young mum, it's kind of taken away from you slightly because people think they know better. So,
did you enjoy the pregnancy as well with Margot more because you were like, my body can do this and I can enjoy this now and I don't, you know.
Definitely, although I did have a scare early on where I was thought there might have been a chromosome thing and I was like, I had this week where I was told I was going for a re-scan and I was just like sure that something would be wrong again. And I was like, so I had to contemplate what would I do if there was something wrong with the baby. Mm. And again, I was like, I just don't think I can have an abortion. I don't think I can. But I never even contemplated having an abortion. But then it was all fine. And then I enjoyed it. So I did have a tricky beginning. But when Margot was born, we were so naive and just, I was very tired and I like, I don't know. So we broke up very prematurely and too abruptly and I regret it deeply. But I wouldn't change anything because of how much we've grown in this breakup and how great we are now. So I feel like it was all good. But we made every mistake you could have made.
Yeah. How long was your breakup?
So we broke up when Margot was technically... We went to Edinburgh Festival when Margot was 3 weeks old because I was like, oh, you know, Alfie doesn't want to be in Edinburgh alone. Yeah. Like, when I've got the new baby, he's going to miss the new baby too much. He's going to miss the late nights. He's going to miss the early stuff. Like, we've got to be in Edinburgh with a new baby. I should have not gone to Edinburgh with a new baby. And we should have left Alfie to do his thing. But I insisted we go and we basically broke down throughout Edinburgh Festival because I was so tired and we were stupidly in this flat where it was up loads of stairs. And with Donny, he was only 20 months old. Like, he was still a baby and I had no idea how to deal with two babies. Mm. So I couldn't really go out of the house and I tried. Stupidly, I tried going out on my own. So I thought, no, Alfie, no, you just focus on your show. You focus on your show, Alfie. I'll go out with the babies on my own. Went out. Margot was too small. She was too tiny to get into a baby carrier. So I had to kind of hold her in the baby carrier. Donny pushed the buggy with one hand. I went to the park and I basically just had a breakdown in the park. I had to ask a stranger because Donny had crawled up this slide. I had to ask a stranger to get him down. I just felt so stupid. And not prepared for this and not like, I felt like a fraud. And I think that kind of catalyzed our breakup because I got increasingly like stressed and he got increasingly kind of like, I think slightly in denial about everything.
Yeah.
And so we broke up very, very, when Margot was kind of 10 weeks old, stupidly. Like, we should have just had a sleep.
Yeah. But it's, you just make rash decisions rash. So easily, yeah. And you then jump on them and then you're going, okay, well, we've made it now. So
he got a TV that was way too big and that was the last straw. And I was like, I am gone. And so then we had like we broke up and it was horrendous. Horrendous.
What was the reality of throughout sort of when you were 20 and then when you got pregnant for the first time, you were prepared to be a single mother, but then you weren't. What was then the reality of actually being a single mother?
Well, the difference is because they were so young. Like, Margot was a tiny baby when we broke up. Like, I was still in the... It was so much easier to be single because I had my mum around every night. She helped me do the bath time in the bed. Like, they went to bed. I then ate dinner and then I went to bed and I breastfed all night and then I got up and then it's much easier. When you have a guy, when you have your, when you still want to, like, you know, have fun with them and watch stuff with them and entertain them and be cool. Like,
yeah.
I didn't have to worry about that element of it. I didn't have to worry about entertaining him and or you know, like, I could just have a routine, which is crucial when they're babies, because otherwise if you don't go to bed at 9, you are fucked the next day.
Yeah.
So I it was actually easier in that hormonal flurry of breastfeeding and them being so young, and I was like, actually this is easier. And I think that's partly why I did it secretly, because I was like, I can handle this better on my own.
I can do this bit. Yeah. I can cope with this, and another person involved who can't cope, it makes it so stressful.
It's also hard for a man when you've got a young baby, because they are slightly emasculated, because they can't do it as well as you. They can't breastfeed it. Like, they want you more than them. So it was actually easier to be like, just go and do your thing, which I didn't mean for him to be to like fuck everyone, but like, you know, just go and do your thing and I'll handle this bit. But then as they got older and I started having more time, but also as they needed more stimulation, so they weren't just babies, that's when it got really hard. And that's actually when I was like, okay, I need someone here with me. I want someone here with me to go through this, because I am really tired and I need support. And that's when it was really tricky, because by this point, Alfie, I'd kind of, he just wasn't quite ready to realise that the support I needed was in really practical ways, because we still always had a brilliant relationship even when we were broken up. Like, it's, but I just don't think he realised it was about forcing me to go back to bed so I could sleep in and they could get up and he wasn't there, he wasn't living with us, so he couldn't do those kind of things. So I had kind of, you know, I had made things more difficult for myself, but my mum was my saviour, and she was like the only reason I got through it. And then it has all got. Then I moved in with my mum and my sister.
So you moved back in.
So me and my sister and my mum moved into a house with the babies, and for the first time, I then had help, and I like, so I could go out in the evening. I had you know, could see my friends again. I could, you know, it was suddenly like, okay, that I'm never going back to that again, because it was a year of being alone with them, and it was like an island. It was quite isolating, and I mean, I had this routine. I worked so hard, like I got more done, but I couldn't have gone through that again.
Were you resentful towards Alfie for him? It's because it's so easy. They walk out the door and they go back to their normal life,
and then they can come in and play,
and the kids go kind of, and you're there going, fuck.
I know. But then also I feel bad for him, because I was like, no, I don't want to be without them ever. I never ever want to have them go away. So I feel sorry for him, because I was like, that is why the breakup is so horrible, because I don't want to say goodbye for 2 days to them.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I don't ever want that. So I felt so bad, because I'd be like, no, they're sleeping with me. Like, I'm not going to do that. And so he lost out there. Whereas, so I do feel bad, but he did have the good times with them, and he did step up, and he's grown so much as a father. He's a brilliant, brilliant dad now. Like, and he always has been, but it was much harder when they were young, like really young.
I think it's just very hard for men at the beginning, isn't it?
He's so much better now at doing it, and he's better than me in certain ways. Like, it's just amazing to have seen how he's grown like that.
Yeah. It's so interesting when you talk about the ache of being, like, when I can't describe the pain that, like, emotionally, and I feel physically when you're away from your child. It's like, it's so, I don't cope. But I also know that I have to do it sometimes, and it's really good, and, you know, really good for a relationship just to step away and, you know, have time to, you know, build your relationship away from a child. But I feel like there's no one else that has that, like, this is physical, like, this is, like, it's like my body is constantly pulling me to him, and I'm constantly having to be like, just wait, you know, get to... And men don't...
They don't have it.
They don't have it.
They don't. Like, so even just going away for 2 days, I'm really... I hate it.
Yeah.
But then I do know it's important and stuff, and...
And you have to really kind of force it. And the anxiety, I've never had anxiety before, and then I had really bad separation anxiety from Rudy when he was young. And then I now get, like, I am like a sweaty, anxious mess if I know that I'm leaving him for a night. And I really, I can now talk myself sort of down it, but I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna miss me so much, and I can't. And you know, and he's fine. He's having the best time in the whole entire world. Yeah. He's completely fine. And
I know I can't. That's the one thing I'm finding. I just don't know how to get through that, really. So what I try and do is I've tried to make my job as flexible as possible so that I can work in the evenings. I see them more in the day, but now I've just put them into nursery. And I was like, I have to do this because I have to get more work done so I can have money. And the first 2 days she was at nursery, because I'd been with her for 2 years solidly. And then I was like, I just cried the whole day.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't, I can't deal with it. So yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. So you and Alfie then got back together.
Well, no, we're not back together, but we're almost like dating.
Yeah.
Which is
starting from the beginning
again. It's actually amazing. It's really, we're very lucky to be able to do that.
And also you're so much more grown up.
Yeah.
As in you forget in your 20s how quickly each section is and how much you develop from 21 to 24 to 24 to sort of, you know, so on. And it does, that mind space does, it makes such a huge difference in who you are and the way you have a relationship and the way that you negotiate a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And I was so new to relationships and stuff. We're like best friends, and also now we're just. I'm just so scared. I don't ever want to break up again. So, and he doesn't either. So I think what we're doing is just kind of being in denial about the fact that we are together, but just not saying anything. And there's no rush because, you know, we've got them, and they'll always be the first thing that so we're just trying to have fun together. And because they are slightly older, I can go away for a couple of days and my mum can have them, and it's like, oh, it's really weird. So we've got through the other side, but I do believe like I was meant to be with him. And because I do really believe that, and so I just feel like every step has actually been right.
Yeah, and just life works in the most mysterious way, and I think we all grow up thinking that it's going to be conventional, and when it's not, it throws you. Mm. But actually, an unconventional life is maybe even more magic.
Yeah, but weirdly, because I always thought I would be unconventional, I always thought I wouldn't have the normal way. Actually, being in a happy couple with two children, like, it's really, like, I find that slightly, like, terrifying, because it's like, okay, but what does this mean? It doesn't mean we're together forever. Do we get a mortgage? Like, what do we do? Yeah. Obviously, we can't get a mortgage. I mean, come on. But, so I'm finding that's the new scary thing. It's like, okay, so we're just trying to, like, okay, just ignore that everything's really great at the moment, but just don't say anything about it. Don't say anything about it.
Before I ask you the last question, I just quickly want to talk about work. How I feel like you've sort of soared since becoming a mum. You know, your career's kind of gone up.
But it had to though, crucially.
It does have to. But how has that balance been?
Well, basically, it's only what I feel like I did is I realised my strengths in my, what I like doing the most is drawing. And I'd always been like, that's what I want to do more than anything else. My acting never ever worked out and everything. So what I found is when I had the baby, I suddenly just drew more, and because that was the one thing I could do one-handed when I was breastfeeding and everything. And weirdly, that's now my life revolves around, my career revolves around my illustrations, and because it's fitting, I've fitted into my life and them, and that's led to other opportunities. But my day job is drawing, which I can do with them around. And like, I've just tried to alter my whole, all of the things I can do so that I can, I don't know, I'm not explaining it very well, but I've managed to do what I like doing and realise, right, I need to work hard at that thing because that's what I'm best at. So I basically have just cut out everything that's wasting time.
Yeah.
Because that means I'm not going to be with them. So the thing that I can do well, I try and do the best I can and make it as time efficient as possible. But I've also got better at managing time since being a mother, because I know that if I've got 1 hour, I need to make the most of that hour.
Yeah.
So if I've got 1 hour, I make the most of it. Whereas I used to spend days being like, oh, I'll just write a paragraph. So I'm actually, like, I think that's the main thing.
Do you wake up before your children and work?
Well, that's what this is the show I'm doing at the moment. It's called Sunrise, and it's all about me trying to wake up at 4 a.m. to do my work before they get up, trying to be this power woman that everyone's talking about. I lasted 3 days.
I can't, I look at those Instagram mums and I go, oh my God, they've been to the gym and they've been on a run and they've
The kids when they're at the
exactly.
gym.
I always think of that question as well. I'm like, wait a minute. I just can't, I snooze my alarm 4 times.
Yeah.
I can't, I just, I wish I was, I wish I was that woman. Sometimes I pretend I am.
No.
And I tell people that I am.
I did it for one day. I did get a lot done, but then I was exhausted for about 2 weeks after that day, so.
And also the day's over by 11 o'clock, you're like, I've lived a day. Yeah. It's bedtime.
No, so I don't get up before them. I try and do, like, enough when they're at nursery.
Yeah.
But that's not really. And also, I'm paying so much for nursery. Like, it's not even worth it. I'm just waiting till they go to school. I'm like, okay, I'll do stuff then.
Yeah. Okay. The last question that I ask everyone is, what is one bit of advice that you would give your childless self?
Slow down. I think I was so scared in my early 20s of not being in a relationship and not having the jobs I wanted, and I was worried about getting older. I don't know, I mean, like, crazy. I was, like, worried about getting older at 21. But it's like, now, just, like, if I just relaxed and just accept that it will happen, I think I would have embraced what happened better. I think as I was so scared and worried, I didn't really enjoy the developments. And so I think, yeah. And I remember I used to run everywhere. Like, I used to, in my, yeah, it was on the cusp of my 20s, I would be so anxious about what I was going to do with my life because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I didn't have a straightforward career, a viable career option. So, like, I think I was so scared that I just got really anxious. And so when I was walking somewhere, I would be like, no, I've got to get there faster. So I've just run. I'd be walking along with friends and I'd be like, okay, we'll just, I'm going to run that. I'll see that. So that just, if I just slow down literally and not run, I think I would have been a little more enjoyable to be around. And I think I would have embraced the changes more as I got older. And now that's the one thing I try and remind myself daily. It's just like, it doesn't matter. Like, doing that thing, that email, like, doesn't matter right now. Like, you enjoy what they're doing in front of you and, you know, turn off the TV and just, like, look at them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to do that more.
Yeah. I think that's a great bit of advice. Oh, Jessie, this has been amazing. I feel like I can talk to you for hours. I didn't even have to look at my notes once.
Aww.
And I wrote so many.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to Wise Buddha and Sembler and Pink Protest. See you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
Place. On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.